when God says do it, you must do it. I don't know what it's all about, but I do know it is a message that we need to hear this morning. And as I said, we need to hear this morning. Pray much that the Lord will use His servant this morning. But most of all, that the message will sink in to each of us. That we can receive what God has for us. And not just to tolerate it for the next few minutes, saying, will He ever shut up? Revelation. Second chapter. Revelation 2. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Beginning at the first word. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy work and thy labor and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. Again, Lord, we ask you, use your servant. Bring the message of Father, that we might hear it and hear it well, that it would accomplish within us, Lord, that which you would have. Father, that we hear with a spiritual ear, and we add here, Lord, to the very thing that you would have for us. Take us, Lord, and use us to your glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask it. Amen. The message this morning is to the church. In the readings that I just read, it's to the church of Ephesus. The center of probably of communication, the center of that area there in Asia. Probably one of the leading places in that whole community, that whole country. Had a great church. It was well established. But God, as he spoke to John there on that Isle of Patmos, he gave him a letter. He told him of the different churches in the area, the seven of them. And he spoke to them. He addressed this letter, as you'll notice there, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Spoke a little bit about this last week. But he wrote this letter to that particular church, and he commended them for the goodness that they had done. He commended them for all the patience they had and the good works they had, how they hated sin, how they was against this, how they had separated out false prophets. He commended them for this, but he said, I have somewhat against thee. He could probably look upon any church in our area, in any place in this United States. He could look at it, he could commend them for their good works, but he would also say, I have somewhat against thee. Well, it's that somewhat against thee that we need to take a look at. It's that somewhat against thee. As I read this message, although it was written to the church of Ephesus, it hits us right smack dab in the face. It hits us exactly, and it was intended to do just that, to keep us all in order. I ask you this morning, are you happy to be here in church this morning?
Amen.
It should be the joyous part of our whole week. It should be the highlight of your life the whole week. It should be that part of the week that really puts you on top. But too often, we come into the church and, well, we aren't too happy. Now let me tell you, I find that this church that we're sitting in this morning, this building, we are less than fully to our capacity. We are far less. I see people sitting in the pews this morning who are highly capable of doing much, much more for the Lord, but don't. I see a teacher in our class this morning, very discouraged, very capable of bringing the word, but just can't seem to get it out. Just can't seem to... Something is, you know, hold us down. I see singers in our church this morning that just don't want to sing. That's tough. I see piano players that come into the door. I walked in and I shake her hand. How are you? Oh, I'm here. Ooh. That don't sound like the Nelda that I know. That doesn't sound like the teacher that I know. That doesn't sound like the peoples that I know. No, it doesn't. Well, we're going to check into this thing. We're going to see what's going on here. I know that Christians, we call ourselves Christians because we have taken on the name of Jesus Christ. And we have said, Lord, I want to be one of yours. Well, to give you a little bit of an example about this, the Christian, to me, is like a fine watch. And I'm not talking about one of these here modern fans that you put a battery in. I'm talking about one of the old-time watches that you cranked up with a spring, you know. A Christian is like a fine watch, all gold. Yes, made of the very best of materials that we can find today. The fine watch is made of gold. You know, back a few years back, before I got all crippled up and all that, I used to love to work on watches. Yeah. I done it, started out just as a hobby, you know, just have fun, you know, just take the thing apart, see how they work and all that. I love to do that. And make them work and see how every little thing worked together. Just love to do that. First thing you know, I had more work than I knew what to do with. Everybody and his brother was bringing their little watches in to me for me to fix them up and make them run or something like that. And I thought I'd quit that stuff. Then I got my finger busted up, so that stopped me. That stopped me. But a watch, I found that a watch that was really a good watch was made out of the very best of materials. Very best that there was. The watches should have the best material, but they should be open-faced. They should be open that you can see the works when you pick off the back. See them up. The little parts inside. It should be open-faced. Open for anybody to look in there and examine that wanted to. Yeah. That's the second part of a good watch. Well-regulated. A watch that doesn't keep good time isn't worth much. So we got that little thing on there that we can make them go faster or we can make them go slower. That was the old time watches I'm talking about. Yeah, you can adjust them in and regulate them till they run right. That was part of an old watch. Dependable. A good watch should be dependable. If you pick it out of your pocket and you see, well, it stopped an hour ago, it's not worth much. It has to be dependable, because we depend upon time to be here, there, or whatever. If the railroads, which was specialized in their watches, if they watches was off here, there, or something, they might have a train wreck. They might have a catastrophe. So, they had to be dependable. But most of all, every good watch had to be filled good works. It has to be filled up inside. Every part of it inside has to be of good works. For everything to work together smoothly. Turn that around just a little bit. A Christian has to be all gold. Has to have the very best. Have to have only Jesus Christ in our life. That is solid gold. Yes. Open face? Yes. We must be open for everybody to see that we are Christian, that we do love Jesus. Yes. Well regulated? Yes. That kind of hits us where we hurt, don't we? We got to be regulated so that we act right, we work right, we do things right. We have to synchronize with everybody else. We have to be well regulated, dependable. Watch out, watch. You're about to stop. Dependable. We have to be dependable unto God to do our very best for Him. We have to be completely dependable. We can't say, well, I don't think I want to do this, or I don't think I want to. We have to be dependable to God. Filled with good works. That is where this church excels. Every person in here is willing to do good works, to hit the road. When somebody has a need, we jump right in there and take care of it. Great. Good. Yes. That makes a good work. Put all these things together and they work just fine. But he said there in his word, these are all good qualities. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What is your first love? Now, Florence, you weren't first. No, Dylan, you wasn't first. You wasn't either, Peggy. No. None of us were first love because God loved us first. He loved us first. We, in turn, when He saved our soul, when we bowed at the altar and we said, Lord, I want to be yours, I want to be a Christian, He gave to us a love that surpasses anything that would ever come upon this earth. He loves, oh yes, he takes care of us, doesn't he? He sure does care. First love. Can you remember when you first met Jesus Christ as your Savior? Amen or not?
Amen.
We can remember exactly the day, the hour, the time when we gave our life to Jesus. It may have been at an altar in a church, or it may have been somewhere else. It doesn't make any difference where it was at. Just so it was. We gave our life to Jesus Christ. That, my friend, was the very first love. That was the love that is the greatest of any love whatever. Yes, that was the first love that he's talking about. That was when you couldn't say enough for Jesus. Your heart was so filled, you had to move. You had to do something. You wanted to tell everybody. You wanted to tell the whole world that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You wanted your friends to become Christians. Am I right?
Yes.
You say we were on fire for Jesus, but he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. My friend, that seems to be the state of the churches today. We have left our first love. We no longer are on fire that we can't wait to get to church to be able to serve Christ. We can't wait to get in fellowship with each other because it's a highlight of our week. We no longer, but we say, we tolerate it. Yes. We come out and we say, well, Lord, I've spent my hour. Yeah, that's good. That'll have to take care of it till next week. Let me tell you a little story here that I thought kind of amusing, really. Two girls were working in a factory. They were young ladies. But one quit and left. Well, some time had passed after she had left the factory. Of course, the other one stayed and worked. But she met this girl on the street, the one that had left. And she was so glad to see her. And she said to her, she said, are you still working? And she said, no, I got married. No, I got married. How do you think about that? At the factory, the one girl works probably 8 hours a day, goes in and does this, that, and the other thing. But the other one got married. She starts her day at daylight, thereabouts, gets up and she goes through the process of preparing breakfast for her family, for her husband, gets him ready to go off to work, the kids probably, gets them up, gets them dressed, gets them ready to go to school, you know the procedure. She goes about that, and after she gets them well, off on their way to work or school or wherever they are, then she goes about cleaning up the mess that she just made, gets the house all in order, and goes about this, and cleans the house, does all these kinds of things, chores she just normally does. And as she does her little chores, she's just a singing and a whistling and having a good time, and just praising the Lord and really enjoying it. Then she starts to prepare for their coming home, and she gets ready, she does while they're gone, she does their washing and ironing, gets her clothes ready, and makes them all these things that she does. And after she does all this, she starts to prepare for them coming home, get their supper ready, and get the school kids that they come in to take care of them, and all this, that, and the other thing. Fixes them up a nice supper, and they All enjoy the supper, sit around and talk, this, that, and the other. Then after a while, they all go to bed, and she thanks God that the day went good. She was very... Then after all is settled down, and they're all well asleep, and everything's taken care of for the night, then she goes and takes her rest. She goes and takes her rest. The girl asked her, he said, "Are you still working?" "No, I got married." She done more work, probably, there in her home than she ever did on the job. She spends more time, she works harder. But there's one difference. When she was at home doing the work, she was in love with her husband, with her children, with her home, with all of these things that she done during the day. They did not hurt. They didn't make her weary, but she was happy because she was in love. You see, she got married. She got married just as you and I, when we bowed at that altar and asked Jesus Christ into our life, we become married to Jesus Christ. You see, we are the bride of Christ. We are the bride. Yes, and as we bow at that altar, we become married. We should now enjoy working for Jesus just as much as that young lady enjoyed working for her family. We shouldn't take it as a drudgery to do the works that God has called us to do, wherever they be, whether they be teaching, whether they be preaching. Yes, I'm guilty just the same as you are. Playing, singing, whatever it is that we do in the church, we should be just joyous and happy to be able to do that for Christ. Yes, we should. There's a little saying here that says, we should not grow weary in his work. No, I got it wrong. We should not grow weary of his work, but in his work. Now, in other words, all the work that we can do for Jesus, we should not grow weary for it. That's good. If we can work till we can just be exhausted in his work, great. But when we become weary of his work, when we count it as a chore to do the various things that God has asked us to do, when I find it a chore to come down to the East Clarksburg Baptist Church and bring a message that God would have me to bring, then I am weary. I am wrong. Because I have become weary of his work. If I were to preach day and night for the rest of my life and I have become weary of it, praise God. Well, yes. So you see, he said, somewhat against you because you have left your first love. I find that in churches everywhere, Christians have lost their first love. Yes, Jesus Christ first, then all things will be added unto you. Yes. He says, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from which you are fallen, and repent, and do your first works. In other words, you found yourself at an altar of prayer, and you were glorified, you were just set alive with Jesus Christ, and you couldn't hold it. You had to get back there. Yes, get back to that place. Do your first works. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's telling the churches and our church and you and me to do today. He says, get back and do your first works. Become alive. Get on fire for Jesus Christ. Yes, he's telling us that very thing. Then it won't be a burden, Nelda. You won't feel like, well, I'm here. No, you'll walk in that house and say, praise the Lord, I'm ready to go what I can do for Jesus Christ. He'll give you words when you stand up and teach. He'll give the singer songs to sing. He'll give the preacher words to preach. He'll do all of it if we keep ourselves where we need to be. Yes, do your first work, or else He doesn't say, maybe. He says, you do it, or else. Or else what? Remember when thou art fallen to do thy first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Boy, now that is strong words, and those are not my words, they're the words of the Almighty God. If you won't repent, I will remove your candlestick. What is the candlestick? The candlestick is the church. That is what he was talking about. You read it, it's right there. He says, the candlestick is the church. He was talking to the seven churches of Asia, but the church. Right here, East Clarksburg Baptist Church is the one he's talking to this morning. And he's telling us, except you repent and do your first works and get the love of Jesus Christ back in your heart, he said, I will remove your candlestick. Can you see your church failing? Can you see your church dwindling? Can you see things, people leaving for one reason or another, or none coming in, or whatever? Can you see this? If you can't, you got your eyes shut. It's happening. And he said, except ye repent, I'll remove your candlestick. That's hard work to swallow. Yes. You have heard what God has said unto you. But, he said, but I will remove it, except you repent. But this I have, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, I said that wrong, but then which I also hate. Yes, we hate those things of the world, those sins. We don't hate the people. No, they did not hate the people. They did not. They hated the deeds of the people. Just as you and I, as we look around here in this area, some of the things that I have heard this past week would make the hair curl on your leg or someplace. The things that has gone on in our parking lot. Yes, we do not hate these peoples, but we hate the deeds that they do. Yes, repent. The word is repent. He said it right here. Except you repent and do your first works. You got a choice. You've got a choice. We can either muff it, we can warn and say, well, yeah, that's the way it's always been, that's the way it's going to be. And we can use all kinds of excuses, we can do this, that, and the other thing. But you will find, if you truly repent in the heart and say, Lord, I am truly sorry that I haven't really done all I can do. Yes. I've been dilatory. I have. I'm sorry, Lord, that I just have not lived up to that. Then you're going to see life change. First of all, it's going to change your own life. You're going to see the things that happened within your own life. You're going to see them come to life, and things that you didn't think possible is going to happen. Good things. Yes. Because We fall on our knees and say, Lord, I am sorry. Then you will find that when the doors of the church are open, you can't wait to get in to be in fellowship with your friends and your family, and especially with Jesus Christ, to receive a blessing that you can't contain. It will be so great that you'll have to tell the whole world about it. Yes, only, and the only qualification that he asks is repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I haven't really fulfilled my life as you would have it. Yes. I keep preaching this now. There must be a reason. Yes. But he says, as I read to you earlier in the day, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's all we have to do is hear it. Hear it. And then what? To him that overcometh, that's the secret. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Back in the beginning in Genesis, they had it all. They didn't lack for anything. They could eat of the tree of, they could eat, just be blessed by it. Yes, and we can be too, if we will repent. The only thing God asked us to do is to repent. And folks, if you're here and you say, I need no repentance, you are a liar. Because there's not one in this house that has fully fulfilled what God would have us to do, and that includes your preacher as well. I intend to ask God for forgiveness. I intend to ask God to set me afire, to renew me the way that I was back on Chub Run some years back. When I bowed at the altar and he blessed my soul and he filled me from top to the bottom and I felt like a fire and that ate me up. Yes. I intend to go back there. And if you don't, then you're going to see that if this church continues as it is right now without repentance and without saying, Lord, forgive us for what we're doing, you're not going to see great vacation Bible school this week. No. You're not going to see new people coming in. You're not going to see all this. The only thing you're going to see is just down, 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 down. Until I ain't going to mention it. God says, he that overcometh will I give to thee. Eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. Paradise, right here. Right here at East Main Street. Paradise. Can you imagine having paradise? It can happen. And then we won't say, well, how are you today? Well, I'm here. You've heard me say that. I've heard it this morning. I hear it. Well, I'm here. You'll have a message that the whole world wants to hear. The reason that message isn't getting out today is because we don't repent. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I praise you, Lord, for bringing this message. And I pray, God, that the only one offended here this morning was Satan. Lord, and I pray that this message, O God, that you have brought, that it will sink and mean something to each and every one of us. Lord, that we can truly repent that we have not fulfilled all that you would have us. And Lord, that we might be able to move from this day forward through this vacation Bible school, through the little ones, oh God, and throughout this community, oh God, that your word would just go like wildfire Help us, Lord, to overcome Satan, to throw him out, to keep him back of us. We ask you, Lord, now just to filter this congregation. Give us each one courage just to step forward and to fall on our knees and to ask God, forgive us and help us along the way. Take us now, Lord. Use us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.